Next item, request for adoption of a memorandum of understanding between the Marine Resources Commission and the Nature Conservancy. Dr. West.
Yes, it is. The letter just passed out as comments are from one of our granting agencies that has to do with this memorandum of understanding, their support of it. Since 2002, we've been working, Conservation Replenishment Department, been working with the Nature Conservancy to get more funds, public and private, to do oyster restoration on Seaside. And I put this map in just to highlight the differences between the two sides. And the fact is, on the past 15 years, there's been a relative abundance of money in the Bay for oyster restoration from a lot of different sources. In a lot of the cases with that oyster restoration, there have been requirements that we match them. We have shucking houses on the western shore, so shells are available. And it's just been easier to do restoration. In contrast, on Seaside, we haven't had a lot of general funds that we could put to oyster restoration. We don't have shucking houses there, and it's a much harder effort to get restoration done. On the Bay, we got plenty of water. We use big barges. We can do things relatively cheaply. On Seaside, we have little teeny barges because we're working in shallow water areas where draft is very, if they have little drafts, so you carry little amounts, so it's more expensive. And that combination has made it very hard to get restoration done. And the Nature Conservancy has had an interest in all sorts of restoration on their properties on the Eastern Shore for many years. And they've been helping us with oyster restoration. We've worked together on eelgrass restoration. We've worked with scallop restoration. And there's been times that if we didn't have the Nature Conservancy funds, we wouldn't have had money to keep the few contractors that we have on Eastern Shore. We only have a couple of guys that work with us, and they've helped us have money to keep working. And in fact, with us working together, we've had more than $1 million worth of restoration funds since 2002. A lot of the work that we've done has been on Nature Conservancy owned lands, their riparian lands. And this map shows the hodgepodge that we have over there. This color green being land that the Nature Conservancy owns and has island rights to. This lighter blue is private grounds, and the white are public grounds, and they all intermix with each other and tend to make things confusing for restoration and enforcement. What we've seen is that the funding being hard to get from Seaside and working through the Nature Conservancy, those projects that we did with them had caveats from the granting agencies that they wanted their funds to be used for oyster sanctuaries, for long-term protection, and that kind of went along with the goals of the Nature Conservancy. And what we've seen is, as we built the reefs on Nature Conservancy property, they get populated, as we're very lucky on Seaside, we still have a very good spat set everywhere, and don't really have any problems for the first couple of years, but as we start accumulating oysters, then we start accumulating oyster poaching and people coming on the areas. And we mark all these areas. Nature Conservancy has been marking theirs with signs say that they're sanctuaries and no harvest. And this shows that this is a person that's actually tied to no harvesting signs as they get ready to come and harvest on these areas that have been closed oyster harvest and have the signs around them. So we started worrying about this and trying to figure out how we could address this, and the Nature Conservancy and VMRC met together and began talking about strategies to work on protecting these areas better. And before we got started too far, we actually got an opinion from Carl, Assistant Attorney General that serves our agency, on his opinion on how we should approach it. And what we came up with was, and I included his opinion in your packet, is that we set these areas aside. We actually map them. This shows one example. We actually map them as a polygon, and we develop MOU, a memorandum of understanding between our agency and the Nature Conservancy on both the securing funds, on the management, and on the enforcement of these areas that we built on the TNC riparian lands. One of Carl's main recommendations that you can see in there is that one of the things we would have to do is that they would actually sign over their rights in this MOU and say that they wanted us to enforce this, and they wouldn't assign any value to it for us to be concerned with from the harvest prohibition. And we proceeded to do that MOU. And the MOU is in your packet, and it's worked on it with both TNC and my department together to get it to suit everybody's needs. And so the first thing that we're asking you in this discussion now is to adopt that MOU for how we manage and enforce the protect these areas for the long term. The second part was that we actually set these areas up, we draw them, we give them, we describe them, and we include them in our regulation on orchard sanctuaries that we've updated, and that's included in your packet, and that's Regulation 650. And what we're asking for is actually at the next meeting that we have a public hearing on these five areas. And just real quickly to go through the areas, kind of made this simplistic drawing of it, and just going from south to north, TNC owns Smith Island, and this shows the Smith Island proposed polygon. The outer area and most of these polygons that we've drawn are our best guess of where low tide is, the area of with highland rights. In some cases, you'll see that there's some uncertainty in the fact that it shows some public grounds underneath these areas, but generally the areas are dry at low tide. And the little red dots are where orchard reefs are. The bigger ones are actually the ones that we've worked on so far, but we're continuing to seek funds to work in these areas and to restore the little orchard reefs and the bigger orchard reefs. The next one is here off of Oyster at Hillcrest. This one, you can see, catches a lot of different types of bottom land. Nature Conservancy actually has an old deed showing their ownership all the way out to this outer line, but it actually shows public grounds here that were actually marked in the 1800s, and the deed was at a later date. Also have this area in the center where the tide actually does not go entirely low, so there's like a slough in here that it's hard to tell exactly who the ownership is, and we want to protect that area by this bigger polygon. Next area is off of Cobb Island, again, the island owned by the Nature Conservancy. This outer line is actually the line for generally the low tide mark. You can see these bigger red reefs are the ones that we've constructed. Then this box tree area, same thing. These are the reefs that we're going to be working on. This is actually an area that we're getting funds for to start working. Part of it is actually on public, and that actually since we're working with them, we felt it better be to just enclose the whole area of the polygon for the future. And then the last one is way up here at Paramore, where we worked along the edge of the public and actually on their shoreline. And again, this is where the map shows that everything all mixed together. But what we're asking now is to adopt the MOU to continue to work with the Nature Conservancy to protect these areas and to advertise for a public hearing on setting these areas that are primarily on the TNC riparian lands with buffers around them aside as sanctuaries in our regulation system.
Questions for Dr. Wesson? Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Robbins.
Dr. Wesson, you mentioned just now that primarily on TNC land and the riparian areas, but also there is a combination of leased ground and Baylor. Do you have any sense of what that is? I have had numerous of phone calls.
Well, I mean, in these areas, we actually don't go over anybody's leases.
No leases.
Not within our polygons. There has been in the Hillcrest one right here, there's been some confusion because when we began working our agency with them in the talks of the MOU, we weren't exactly sure how fast things were going to move along. And so one of the things we thought was a good idea has turned out to confuse things is we thought it would be best that somebody with the Nature Conservancy go on and apply for this area that was in question while we were working on an MOU. And that's what caused a lot of confusion on the shore is the name of the person that they knew was not a waterman. They knew who actually worked at the Nature Conservancy. And the idea is that once this is all straight, that request for this lease goes away in that area. In this one in Smith Island, there's also a corner up here that we're still trying to determine the actual low tide, and there's been a request by one person that leased part of that area up there, as well as the person that Nature Conservancy applied over that area. So there's been some confusion, and we're working out the low tide line on that right now. And if there is an area in here that's leasable, we're perfectly satisfied with changing this line to go around that, just like we did, if you remember, right. Hank Jones was in here for one in several months ago, and we would just cut that out of this polygon.
Okay.
No problem.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, did you say that this is critical, this agreement is critical to ensuring future funding of restoration activities? With the partnership?
You can see that letter we've gotten from the Restoration Center from NOAA. I mean, they've been given us funds. We've gotten funds from some private foundations, and all of them are concerned that they want their money on these Nature Conservancy lands to go for long-term restoration as opposed to short-term footing fishery.
And during the course of the discussions from a law enforcement perspective, we've explained and we've been very, very forthright with the Nature Conservancy and our other partners that, you know, we'll do the very best that we possibly can as far as patrol and things like that are concerned, realizing that we have other issues that we have to deal with, of course, as well. So they've been very, very understanding as far as that's concerned. Mr. Schick and then Mr. Holland.
As a matter of public policy, taking Baylor ground and putting it into sanctuary, have we done a lot of that before?
Yeah, we have many sanctuaries.
That's what I thought. Okay, I just wanted to.
Mr. Holland?
When we do this, if we do it, the lines that will be drawn, the buoys that will be marked out, that will be the grind. There won't be any line saying this is conservancy, this is state. This will be just one area.
This will be a sanctuary, that's right.
It'll be a sanctuary that there's no lines drawn, who knows what.
No.
Jim, one thing.
We'll work jointly with on the enforcement of it and jointly with the signage.
One thing that we didn't discuss during the course of our initial meetings, at least I may have slipped by me, is the need to educate the public and those that are involved that may be in these areas. I think we need to make sure that we adopt these, that we do our very best to make sure that the public understands. And I think I did mention during the course of our meetings that from the outset, education of the general public who frequent this area should be of a paramount concern first, and after that, then we'll take the pencil and put it to the paper. But I think it's important that we certainly educate ahead of time. Further comments or questions? The matter is before the commission on the adoption of the MOU that you have before you. I don't think I can take public comment, but I think the adoption of an MOU is not something that's subject to a public hearing. But if there's anyone that would like to comment on the public, pro or con, I'd be glad to hear it. Matters before the commission. Mr. Fox?
I would move that staff recommendation that we accept this MOU with the Nature Conservancy. Seems to me to make sense. It would be a reasonable way to attempt moisture restoration in areas that we can define in a meaningful way. So I would
Motion made by Mr. Fox. Thanks for a second. Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Now what is before the commission is the request by staff to advertise for a public hearing to set aside these specific oyster sanctuaries. Mr. Fox?
I would make a motion that we advertise for a public hearing the next meeting to set aside these specific areas. And it's my understanding those places, Jim, you may modify the lines slightly.
Right. So we have the public hearing tonight.
But the areas will be no larger than what you have depicted here.
Right.
And by then we will be able to have rectified the concern, especially up in the upper corner of Smith Island. That'd be fine. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jim.